Again, good morning. Before we get to our text, I just think we should take time to pray. The choir is very excited to be here today. We're happy to have them here too. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, before we go any further, we have steadied our hearts during the prelude. We have called each other to worship you. We have confessed our brokenness and our need of forgiveness. We've been forgiven. We've greeted one another in your name. And now we come to a time to gather around your word, a time to hear you afresh. We pray that you would fill us anew. Guide our thoughts, guide our hearts. Help us to trust in you. Help us to know you better, to follow you closer. And no matter where and what we came in with, may your grace be sufficient. We give you thanks. As a nation, we pause and give you thanks. And Lord, we have so much to be thankful for, so much to be grateful for. In you and in your Son, in what you're doing in this world, in this church, in our family, and our friends. We give you praise. We thank you. Help us now, again, be open and receptive to the words you have for us. We pray this in your glorious Son's name. Amen. Last week, many of you were here to hear a wonderful message by Elder Bob Davis, and talked about, if you will, going fishing, that God has called us to be fishers of men, that he's given each one of us a pulpit or a place to speak, a place to act, a place to serve, that it's not about whether you have a nice green stole or a long robe, sorry, ladies, but it's about us using our everyday, ordinary life where he has us for his glory, for his goodness, and trusting that he's working, even sometimes in experiences and in ways we have no idea how. We really believe this as in our tradition, our heritage, in the Reformed tradition, God is sovereign. That no matter what we're going through, that it's passed through his hands, and that he's good, and so we can trust him. Wait a minute, you said, are you sure about it? Yeah, that's what we talk about, that's what we believe. And it's not something we just make up. We find it over and over again throughout Scripture and throughout history, that God is trustworthy. So the bank account's empty or not empty, it's worse. Yes, we trust him. We get a bad report from the doctors, we still trust him. We don't know why things happen. We trust him. The storms and the hurricanes come, and we trust him. No matter where we're at, we believe that God is still working on our behalf, that he loves this world, and he's not done. And so if you understand that and you believe that, then this text is going to be very easy for you to jump into. If you've never heard that, if you're not sure about that, you're like, that sounds good, but this season that I'm currently in, I don't know if I believe that. The good news is you're in a good and safe place. You really are. The scriptures are filled with people that just said, I don't know about that, God. I'm not sure if I can trust you about that. In fact, the heroes of the faith are the ones that actually really do believe it. But know this, that the text that we're going to read today, you might find, how is that about trusting God? It's probably more about trusting God than we've ever maybe thought about. Now, Elder Bob Davis, again, gave this great message about getting out of the boat, if you will, using what God has given us so that we can be fishers of men. And today, I want to read to you a text that is something that a lot of people just have never heard or really read, or maybe even know that's even in the Bible. But let me jump into it, and if you give me a little latitude, I'll be glad to unpack it. Tell those rich in this world's wealth to quit being so full of themselves and so obsessed with money, which is here today and gone tomorrow. Tell them to go after God, who piles on all the riches we could ever manage, to do good, to be rich in helping others, to be extravagantly generous. If they do that, they'll build a treasury that will last, gaining life that is truly life. What does that mean? I mean, think about that. I don't know about you, but I know that in my experience, I remember growing up as a kid, we didn't really have much. Divorced family, single mom for a few years, working three jobs just about. I mean, worked. And God bless her. And probably one of the reasons that single parents just have a huge heart for. I just really feel that they just have so much to work through and so difficult circumstances. And yet, God was faithful. I didn't know that we really might have been feeling more of the have-nots of the world. There are times in our lives we felt like have-nots. Some of the times because of our bank account, some other things maybe. But looking back, I'm like, wow, I had no idea. And I'd go over to friends' houses, or we'd see, you know, their houses or their cars their family drove in, and I'm like, wow, that's really nice. Oh, wow, how about that, right? Yeah, that'd be nice to have. Years down the road, I remember going over to a friend's house, I went to church in the morning, and then we had a youth group at night on Sundays. And so I'd go to church in the morning, and my family and I, we lived about a half an hour away from the church. So it wasn't like let me just swing by later. So it was kind of like, yeah, if you have any friends from, you know, youth group you can hang out with, then, you know, that'd be great. Save us, you know, four trips. And I understand that now, especially as a parent. So I said, okay, sure. And so I asked this friend, and she's like, yeah, you can hang at my house, and then we'll go. She was in the choir, so that means I was in the choir now. You know how that goes, you know, the ride. So, and again, they've heard me. They're like, no. Anyhow, so I'm in the choir. Now, they put me, like, way on the side so they could not, you know. But anyway, so I'm going to the choir. But before that, well, I'm at her house, and I'm checking it. And I am like, how high are those ceilings? Like, I'm like, oh, my goodness. I'm looking all around just amazed. I'm like, you're the only family that lives here? It was like over 5,000 square feet house. 5,000, right? I was like, holy cow. I was in charge of making the salad. And so that was my job the weeks I was there. And so I remember, you know, heading home later that night and just going, man. And we pull into our house, and I'm like, it's so small. You know, like what happened to our house? You know, like, what, mom? You know. Anyway, so looking back, I remember feeling like, and it was, the family was incredibly generous and kind. They didn't do anything. And I didn't feel like they were better, but I just felt a little off. And so it was kind of like, well, I want a big house one day. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Then I came to find out that the world is a little bit different than what we experience traditionally here in the States. I mean, this might surprise you, and you might not feel like it, but like you're very rich, if you will. But top 10% of the world, only the top 10% of the world, have these three things: a place, a shelter, place over their head, transportation, which could be a bike, and three meals a day. 90% of the world does not have those three things every day. Now, what if I told you that we were hiring a new position here this week? I said, we're going to hire a new position. It pays $37,000 a year. No takers, exactly. Some people would be like, that's nice. I'm sure someone will enjoy that. $37,000 a year. If you take that home annually, you're in the top 4% of the world in wealth. Now, I'm not saying this to make you feel bad. I'm not saying that at all. Anything, maybe you feel grateful for what you do have. But isn't it true that you can be rich according to world standards, but not feel rich? Isn't it true you can be it and yet not know it? I find it so interesting that sometimes we're so caught up in what we don't have, we miss what we do have. I mean, it's fitting this time of year with Thanksgiving and everything. I think this text for me, and this text was chosen a while back, not even thinking about Thanksgiving, but how important it is that we realize that maybe we all are very rich. They did a study. And some of you guys are still like, I'm not sure. If just because I might be rich in the world standard doesn't mean I feel rich or, you know. The average person, no matter what they're making, say you're making $50,000 a year, just putting in a hypothetical. The average person doubles what they're making to say, if I made 100, I'd feel rich. You're making 100? If I made 200, I'd feel rich. If you're making 5, if I had a million, that's just typically what most people feel. I find that interesting. Why is it? Do you remember when you were in high school and you got nothing? You had nothing. You were doing everything you could and you got minimum wage at that, and next thing you know, you're like, people paying you, and you're like, you finish, maybe you go to college or you get a good job or you have your own business, and you're like, I gotta keep all this? Like, are you kidding me? This is fantastic. It's so common to maybe not be aware of what you have. It was one time I was serving with a mission up in North Carolina, and we had a long, hard week. It was a good week, but we had a long, hard week, and the staff and I are at, I think it was Ingles of all places. Anyways, we're at this grocery store and going through and putting our stuff, and I'm like, oh, I am starving. I could eat a horse. An idiom, right? A kind of just a phrase that doesn't mean literally I'm starving, but just, yeah. And the director of the camp, of the staff, says, you're starving, huh? I said, man, seriously, I am so hungry. I think I had like breakfast, and that's it all day. I'm like so hungry. And he just points to a cover on Time magazine of people starving in another country. And he's like, yeah, I don't know if you really understand what that means. And I'm like, why you got to be so dark, man? I'm just saying I'm hungry, you know? But I've never used that phrase since then. If you're a first-generation immigrant, there's a good chance you know that it's not easy. It's not easy. You've had to overcome a lot of things. I love that, and again, I didn't ask their permission, but yet I think they'll give it to me or they'll make fun of me later. The Hills, when they came back from Guam, and I'm not making that up, when they came back from Guam, they were so surprised how selfish we Americans can be. How we have all these problems. I heard a pastor say like this, we have rich person problems. Think about it. When your cell service isn't good, that's a rich person problem. When your car has a flat tire, rich person problem. Most people don't even have a car in the world, right? And you start thinking about like, wait a minute, do I really have all these problems? Are they really that big? Interesting, because I think I have found over the years, when I've been where you're at, and I've sat in sermons, and I've heard pastors and people talk about money or giving, and it's usually about, we need to build a bigger building. And nothing wrong with buildings. They're tools. They're great resources. But it was never anything about, I never understood the why. I mean, I'd hear about, we'd have bigger services. Okay. But I never really got the why. And as I've worked with churches the last 20 years, what I've discovered is this. The richer we get doesn't mean we're really good at giving. And I ask, why is that? Why are people, me included, why are we not good at giving? I mean, there's a text that I'm gonna point out a couple things again. It says, be rich in giving. Be rich. That is should just kind of define you because of how generous God is. I think the church is not good at giving because no one's really talked to us how to do it. Here's why. One, if you're a guest, let me just put the cards on the table. You get a pass on this one. You get to just, I wish you had some popcorn and you can just like watch some of the partners here kind of be like, feel a little uncomfortable and like, what's he talking about? It's all good. But isn't it true? If you did invite someone and they came, you're going, money? You're talking about money? Are you kidding me? Why are you doing? Because we don't want to offend people. Fun fact, Jesus talked more about money than he did the afterlife. Why is that? Because he knew what has our hearts is usually close to our wallets. What has our hearts? What do you trust in? Do you feel more trusting when the bank account's full? And I do. Absolutely. Am I really trusting? I wonder. So maybe this text could be something that we can learn from See, this is a command, or this is a teaching that a young pastor has been given by Paul, and he's trying to help him understand. Listen, if you're part of the haves in this world, this is what God requires of you. This is one of the reasons he gifted you with all of this haves, okay? So he says, tell those who are rich in this world, in this world's wealth, to quit being so full of themselves. Don't get wrapped up in yourself. How many mirrors do we have in our houses, right? I mean, we're always looking. And so obsessed with money, which is here today and gone tomorrow. Tell them this, go after God. Go after him. Seek a relationship with him. And all the things that we seek sometimes with our money, all the things we seek with what it can give us, the opportunities it can give us, will be so much, almost incomparable when we have that relationship with our Lord. Now, again, if you're not rich, you don't feel rich, then this isn't talking to you, so you're good. Totally don't worry about it. But he says, tell them to go after God who piles on all the riches we could ever manage. Why? To do good. That there's something bigger, that there's something else going on. And he says, to be rich in helping others or in doing good deeds, in other translations. So those of you that are wealthy, be generous in what you give. Be generous in how you serve others. It's something we have to learn. It's a practice. If I asked you to write your name on a nice little envelope or something, or on a letter, you'd write your name and it'd be all pretty and be nice. But if I asked you to switch your hands and now try your left hand or your opposite hand, maybe you're left-handed, and you're obviously right, it would take a lot more work. And you probably aren't going to be that good at it. Giving sometimes is like that for us. It feels so awkward. Like, I don't know about this. Like, it doesn't feel like the right hand. Maybe I should just stop, not do that, right? We have a, there's times we let people know about special things we got going on in the church, not just for us, but for the community, how to help others. We mentioned to you that there was a church down the Keys that got hit by the hurricane, and they asked for diaper cream and flip-flops, and we had over 100 flip-flops that came in. I stopped counting after 100, I did. enough diaper cream to cover and slather some babies. that was boom. I mean, people were coming in after the second service. They're coming back in bags with bag stuff. Our church is great at that. We've had people come up and go, Pastor, have you noticed there's some spots on the carpet? I said, yes, I have. And they said, it's really time, isn't it, to kind of replace that? I said, it would be great, wouldn't it? And they're like, do you mind if I kind of see what I can do? And I'm like, why would I mind? I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, see what you can do, you know? Comes back, he says, we need $550, and we got the whole thing covered. I went, what kind of carpet is this? You know, like I'm thinking, you know? And he's like, no, I got donations from a whole bunch of people. I'm like, I'll let the church know. And again, if you're interested in helping, that'd be great. But in all reality, that's not the giving he's talking about here. It is, but it's so much bigger than that. I'll explain to you here in just a second. Be rich in helping others, to be extravagantly generous. If they do that, they'll build a treasury that will last. When we build, when we do, when we serve, when we give, we give God so many opportunities to use that to bless others, to help them know him. It's so much bigger than how much $1, $2, $10, $20, whatever, if you will, we put in there. But I want to talk to you a little bit different. Three P's. I don't try to get things to rhyme in my messages. Many of you know this. I don't try to think of, I have one P, let me come up with five more. I don't do that, but this really works, so I'm going with it. Priority giving. Now, priority giving is good. We say, hey, we have an issue with our carpet. Anyone can help us out, that'd be great. That's a priority kind of issue. Say we had something with our school. Hey, we need something in a room. We need to install something. Da, da, da. Can anyone help out? Boom. That'd be a priority giving. Good stuff. Need-based, and everyone steps up. They're really wonderful. And traditionally, that's how most of us give. Then there's this thing called percentage giving. And percentage giving, I want to help you in the how-to, right? Percentage giving is a different approach. It's not just this, okay, I'm going to give when the church needs something, but I'm going to I'm going to give a percentage. Now, as a young person, I remember being taught 10%. You got to give 10%. That's your tithe. And it comes from a whole Hebrew word and everything. It's okay. Anyway, so 10%. So I was focused on 10%. So every dollar I got, 10 cents went in. It's easier when it's smaller. I'm just going to say that in the beginning. You get $10. Guess what? I put $1 in there. You get $100. You're like, $10. You know, as a youth, you know, you're thinking, whoa, that's 10 bucks. $1,000? $100? Like, what? But as you learn that discipline, and you learn, it's really all God's anyways. Remember I talked to you about the sovereignty of God? That everything goes through his hands. Everything we have is because of him. This percentage giving is great. Maybe 10% is too big for you. Maybe you've never given before. You're like, I just help out when they need it. You got the carpet? I'll help you with the carpet, but I don't know about next year. I don't want anyone to feel guilty in this. What I want you to do is think about, Lord, what do you want me to do? Maybe it's 1%. Maybe you bring in 1% in your giving. It's not about how much you give. It's about what has your heart. And there's something about being generous and serving that helps us fight back greed, that helps us to be grateful for what we have. So maybe you start with 1%. If you were 1% last year and you're like, maybe I bump it to 2. I'm telling you, it's amazing that just a little bit, what it'll do, more in you than you can possibly imagine. Then there's progressive giving. And progressive giving is maybe, like me, maybe like 10% has been what you've been, I'm 10%, 10%, 10%. That's great. That's wonderful. God's not interested in the percentage, though, and how much. He wants your heart. Are you sacrificing for the 10? Then great, stay at 10. If 10's easy, maybe bump it to 11. Maybe bump it to 12. Here, folks, I'm not looking for a raise. Let's get clear. Cards on the table. It's not about me here. This is about the ministry we believe God is doing here at All Villages, at the school, in our community, Missionary Flights International, our missionaries we support overseas. What would happen if we really did give, knowing that it's for what God is doing? The mission of ministry. I wonder what we trust in. Because I know for me, this is something I've been really reciting last several months, in fact. I will not trust in riches, but in him who richly provides. What are you trusting in? What has your heart? Maybe you've been a percentage giver, and that's great. Maybe you step it up. Maybe you're like, I give when they need it. And that's a big step for you. It's not about how much you have, but what you do with what you have. Are you being generous? Are you being rich in your generosity? Are you being rich in what God has given you so you can bless other people? You hear the phrase, especially around this time of year, it's better to than receive. Better to give than receive. Why is that? It's not just a catchy slogan. It's not just because we have an angel tree in the back. December 10th is the due date, FYI. It's because when we give, it's like we point to the Lord. Every time we serve, it's like we point to the Lord. Someone says, thank you. You say, you're welcome. I just want you to know, I'm doing this because of, let me tell you about someone who's really generous. That changes everything. It's not about the money. It really isn't. It's not. Bob Davis, if you were here last week, you know what I'm talking about. If you weren't, you can go online and download it because it was a fantastic message. But he's like, listen, I'm all I've been in my life is finances almost my entire life, but I'm not going to talk to you about finances. I'm going to talk to you about your life and your pulpit, where God has you. I loved it. I said, Bob, I hope one day I can do as well as you. And I meant it. He nailed it. It was beautiful. Because it's not about the money. It's about our hearts before the Lord. He wants more of us than we can possibly imagine. But why should we do it? To do good. So where are you at with this? Where does this sit with you? If it made you uncomfortable, I'm not trying to make you uncomfortable. I'm trying to help you realize how blessed you are. Again, most of us, we don't feel rich. We look in the bank account, we don't feel rich. But when you think about compared to the world, it changes things. You might feel like a have-not, but God has not made you a have-not. When you're a child of His, you're exactly a loved person. He cares about you, and He wants to do great things through you. So, I want to challenge you to memorize this and maybe start saying it. Maybe that's your next step. Maybe you're like, I'm not sure about this giving thing, but I understand about trusting the Lord, and that's important. I think a lesson for the rest of our lives, for every one of us to learn, is I can trust God in every situation, in every circumstance. That means relationally. That means physically with our health, financially, sexually. I mean, every area of our lives. Can we trust God with this? I will put my trust in Him. I will not put trust in riches, but in Him who richly provides. What would your life look like this week? You get the bill and you're just like, what? How am I going to, where are we going to? I will not put my trust in riches, but in Him who richly provides. I wonder how big a smile God would have. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, the challenge today to hear about those rich Christians and how they needed to learn how to be good givers, to be generous in their good deeds and helping others, to show Your love and Your extravagance. Lord, help us to see how that applies to us. How in this world, even though many of us don't feel rich, we are very rich. There are those who were sick that couldn't be here today. Those who are away, we pray for them. We pray for quick healing. You know those special concerns found on our prayer list? Those who are serving in our military, we lift them up to You. We give thanks for a great country, a country that encourages people to serve, encourages people to worship. And so we lift up our leaders. We pray for our nation, and we ask, Lord, that You would take Your people, take Your church, empower us to be Your hands and Your feet. Whether it be the choir singing, or it be reading to a student that struggles and investing in their lives. Maybe it's praying for our neighbors or serving in the local soup kitchen. Lord, may we not get tired of doing good. And for those of us that are just so tired, would You give us rest? May we find our hope again in You. May we remember that You love all of us. And Your blessings are so much bigger than what we have in the bank account. Help us not to put our trust in riches, which is here today and gone tomorrow, but in You, who richly provides. Help us to consider how we give, Lord. Do we give when there's just a need? Have we learned the incredible blessing of percentage giving? And Lord, maybe we need to be stretched to be progressive in our giving. We need to not be afraid, but trust in You. And Lord, for anyone here that's just really struggling and just maybe just turned me down as soon as they heard anything about giving and money and riches and all this, I pray a special blessing on them too. Bless them indeed. May they know of Your great riches. May they know of Your great love and mercy. Help us all, Lord. Help us all be rich in our giving and in our generous deeds. We pray for our sister churches, the Grove and Any River, Palm City. We pray for your church universal. We pray that you would continue to work through all of us to build your kingdom. For the church is the body given as a gift for the life of the world. And Lord, many, many times we get wrapped up in just going through the motions. But may this Thanksgiving, may this moment even here, challenge us and remind us of how generous and how wonderful you have been in our lives, even when maybe our circumstances don't show it. May you receive all the glory and all the honor. Remember the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.